Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Food Network Obsessed. This is the podcast where we dish on all things food with your favorite chefs, food influencers, and Food Network stars. I'm your host, Jamie Sire, and today we have a favorite home improvement couple sharing their holiday plans and, of course, what they plan to eat. They are the stars of Hometown on HGTV, and they are making their holiday movie debut in the new Discovery Plus movie, A Christmas Open House. It's Ben and Aaron Napier. Ben and Aaron, welcome to the podcast. Where are you joining us from today?
We're at home. House.
It's very glamorous.
Yeah, we don't have any fancy like lighting or anything, so I'm glad this is audio only.
Well, you have a beautiful home, or homes, as I should say, which we will get into in just a little bit. And we're also going to talk about your holiday movie debut. But as this is the Food Network podcast, we want to chat all things food with you guys first, because I know you guys love to cook and host as well. As individuals who are experts at really making a place feel like a home, how does food and what you're serving at the table really play into that perfect formula?
I mean, for me, it's like 60%. It's the formula.
Yeah. I mean, when you walk in the front door, isn't it great when you can kind of smell what's coming?
Well, so that's for Aaron. The smell is like 75% of
the experience. Yeah.
And so if it's something cooking, it's even better.
Yeah. No, it is. Food is so important. I mean, we're Southerners, so we like to eat. We exercise the table muscle.
It's interesting. So going to our, you know, respective parents' houses, when we go to Aaron's parents, like the meal is almost ready when you get there. You can smell it. My family
and mom cooks exactly enough for the people who will be there. Right. That's it. No leftovers.
My mom, on the other hand, my parents sort of, they sort of, what would you call it? They're very free and easy with the schedule. And so you show up to their house and nothing is cooking. And then they're like, well, I guess we need to get started. And you're like, okay, it's dinner time. So yeah, let's get started. But yeah, that was. Yeah, food is a big part of it. Aaron is shocked by it. So my family, there's four boys. I have three brothers. We're all larger than, you know, very, very large people. And my mom still to this day cooks a feast for every meal. And so there's always tons of leftovers and that sort of thing.
Even though none of these men live in her house.
None of us live there.
Just Ben's dad and that's it.
Yeah, one of my brothers lives close by and his family's over there for dinner a lot. So. But anyway, Aaron's family, there's four of them, And Erin and her brother are spread way out in age. And so,
four in my entire house. That's not siblings. It's a little family. Yeah.
And yeah, so food is part of home, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. What I mean, you talked about those smells. What are some of the smells like when you walk in to your own home or to your parents' home, and you know exactly what is being cooked in the kitchen?
Well, if you walk into our house, you're going to smell garlic. I'm an Italian cook. That's what I enjoy cooking, and it's what I'm best at. But if you walk into my parents' house, my mom always has something like Southern traditional casserole-y, chicken-y something.
She may do like roasted vegetables and deer steak, and like that's her big thing right now. She's really on.
She's going through a deer thing right now. But at Ben's parents, when I think of Ben's parents, I think of like roast and gravy and rice. That's a
big
standard Napier.
There were a lot of rice and gravies going on in our house, having to feed that many kids. But it was, for me, it's my mom's biscuits because she, you know, everybody's mom makes biscuits and they're the best and all that. And, but my mom, the way she always made them was she would take like a, what size?
Like a food service.
Like a 9x12 or bigger.
Bigger.
Way bigger than that. Like a big rectangle tray.
And like a big sheet pan. Yeah.
It's a huge one.
And then she would fill it with biscuit dough. And then it would, you know, she'd bake it. And then she'd cut them out in squares.
Like a restaurant would have to do.
Right. And so that's, for me, it's biscuits. And my mom, Erin's fascinated. My mom, when we were in high school, I thought it was totally normal and like, oh, this is what everybody's moms do. But every morning there would be something for breakfast cooked at our house.
Oh, wow.
And I just thought, you know, that was part of it. And then Erin was like, no, I ate a lot of Eggos. And
yeah, dude, we had cereal.
On my own, yeah.
Yeah. But it's a...
So for me, it's biscuits at my parents. Your parents, of course, we got the holidays, so that's on our mind. But at your mom's house... Or your
gumbo
parents.
Is her recipe. Mm. Her signature holiday dish is her gumbo.
Yeah. Have you taken on that tradition as well?
I've tried it once.
On TV.
On TV.
Yeah, we have a Christmas special coming up.
But it's all about food and my family's recipes. So this is kind of top of mind right now. But yeah, I've tried it once. And she said, this is great for your first time.
Which is like a perfect Southern,
I'll take it.
A perfect Southern lady, like, oh, bless your heart.
I was just about to say, was that the equivalent of like a bless your heart comment? Or does she actually mean that you did a good job for your first time?
Listen, it's a complicated dish to make, so I'll take it. I'm happy with that.
Well, let's talk about that special, Hometown Christmas in Laurel. What makes experiencing the holidays in your town so unique?
We have a really huge first weekend in December, and that's when it kicks off in Laurel.
It's not the... So there are a lot of people who plan their family holidays around the first weekend in December because they plan to come home for that as opposed to coming home on Christmas.
It's Pancake Day and the Christmas parade.
The tree lighting in downtown, the open house in downtown.
That's this weekend.
But no. There's one that they do in December. It's like
it's closer to
the magic
Christmas
of Laurel.
The magic of Christmas is closer to Christmas Day. anyway, the tree lighting.
Tree lighting. The gala, gala. I don't know how you say
it. At the art museum.
The art museum.
It's a black tie event.
Wow. Christmas parade and the big pancake breakfast, pancake day.
Yeah. So all those traditions, they're just a part of your life, your whole life. And it becomes like the thing we look forward to, maybe more than like actually Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Really?
Food. Yeah. I mean, for me, when, you know, I met Erin and we started dating and we started, you know, spending holidays together, it was just like amazing that you have this magical Christmas weekend, three weekends before Christmas. So it's like, you know,
you get it twice.
An appetizer in the food world. But and even those are surrounding, I mean, you've got at the gala, there's always an amazing catered meal for the pancake breakfast. The pancakes aren't that great.
They are great.
But they're amazing.
They are wonderful. And they are served with Kaneka sausage on the side. Now, I don't know how much you know about Kaneka sausage.
I don't.
Well, it's an Alabama brand that is kind of specialty.
Conecuh County, Alabama.
Evergreen, Alabama. It's kind of hard to find. It is the world's greatest smoked sausage in the world.
What makes it so good?
It's the perfect amount of spice. It's not too flavor. Spicy.
And they have, like, you can get like a Cajun or a spicy, or but the original is, I've never met someone who didn't say, like, that's the best.
This is the best I've ever had.
Who didn't say it's the best.
Wow. Sausage.
You know how when you, maybe this is just me, but when you eat a Dorito that has that perfect amount of seasoning on it.
Yes.
That's what Conecuh sausage, just got like this really special proprietary blend of spices that is Conecuh specific. Mm. Anyway, we're obsessed.
I mean, what is it like to share, you know, these very special, you know, hometown traditions with your audience on the show?
Well, I hope they find it relatable. Yeah. I hope that everybody has a version of this wherever they live.
Like, we didn't. Mm-hmm. So growing up, I never lived anywhere long enough to have, you know, these set in stone traditions that we must do this every year, you know, for Christmas. Because, but also I had, you know, three brothers, and one, Jesse, is a lot younger than the rest of us. And so we sort of had the magic of Christmas at home all the time. Mm-hmm. We had our own traditions. I hope that there are more people that have magical small town Christmases. I mean, it really is like a stereotypical Christmas movie.
Yeah, but that's not even what the special is about. The special is about our family's recipes.
Yeah.
And the ones that we always cook every year. And I tried my best to make them myself. And, you know, it was good for my first time. So that's pretty good.
What else did you make aside from the gumbo?
Yeah, the bold, like, oatmeal,
peanut butter
cookies.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a special name for them at my house that is R-rated, and we couldn't say it on TV, but...
It's a podcast, so I think we can say
it. I think on the podcast you can say it.
Okay, we'll say cat poop cookies. How's that? that's what they look like. They're delicious, though. And so it's kind of like divinity, though. The weather has to be just right for them to turn out right.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, they don't always set if the humidity's not right.
It was one of the first Christmases that Aaron and I were dating. Her mom made a bunch of them. And for some reason, like, Aaron doesn't eat sweets.
I don't eat chocolate.
Aaron's mom kind of eats sweets, but not a lot. And Phil's, like, her dad was like, I don't even like these. And so she gave me like this 10 of them. And I was driving to my parents' house, which at the time they lived nearly 5 hours away. And so the whole way home, you know, I sat there, I was driving, and instead of stopping in the gas station and getting something, I was eating these cookies. And so now it's like, I will revolt if they don't make, like, we have a cookie baking night, and they're like, okay, we're going to do chocolate chip, we're going to do sugar cookies and shapes. And I'm like, you know, what about the cookies?
They're just for Ben, though. Just for him.
You will protest if they do not make an appearance on the holiday
what
table.
What else do we have? I can't remember.
what else do we? Oh, in the special, we did glazed ham.
Yeah.
My Aunt Bert's dressing, which, ooh, I guess Northerners might think of as stuffing, but that is a completely different dish. We did not stuff the bird. What else did we make? Dressing and
I can't even remember.
The gumbo and
it's been a while.
And the cookies and the punch.
Yeah. I mean, I'm hungry just like hearing those things. So I can only imagine seeing it come to life on the screen. And for those that don't know, I mean, your show Hometown, you guys are constantly really reimagining and updating these homes. When you guys are renovating kitchens specifically, what is top of mind for you in terms of form and functionality?
Durability. And I'm obsessed with a one basin sink.
Mm.
It seems silly, but
so one time we
my life
up.
Has been changed by a single basin sink.
We messed up on that. I don't care who the architects are. We love our architects; they're amazing. But until you actually fill a space out, you don't really know. One time we messed up, and the island was too close to the other run of cabinets, and it just made everything really tight. Like when you opened the oven, you couldn't stand and open the oven. You had to move to the side and open it. And we went back and fixed it, but it was an expensive mess up.
Felt a little tight before it was done.
And it was one of those deals where, you know, the appliances weren't in yet and we had to run, you know, we had to film the scene about the plumbing. And so we had to get the sink in the island. And then it ended up, like, once it was done, we were like, oh, shoot. And so that's that's a thing that we're always, you know, once you mess up something like that, it's always front of mind. Like when you start a kitchen, we're like, okay, let's think about how this is going to actually feel to open this, you know, oven right here.
Are there any like must-haves or like clever updates that you have made to kitchens that really make that process of cooking and preparing a meal for people a little bit easier?
I'm obsessed with under cabinet lighting. I feel like you can just see so much better when you're prepping and cutting vegetables. And I don't know, it feels like something's missing if we don't have under cabinet lighting. And we often don't do it because it is kind
it's a budget.
It's a splurge. It's a budget thing. Yeah. But when we get to use under cabinet lighting, it makes a big difference, I think. I'm a big fan.
We've always done. We did it the first, our first project for us, which was our loft after we got married. We did under cabinet lighting.
But
they were so cheap. And,
that's all we could afford.
But we loved them. You know, we loved the way it looked and all. And then when we did this house, we had them. And then when we redid the kitchen, we had them. And then when we redid the kitchen again,
we had them. Big fan.
I love that, though. Like, it's something that you obviously have kind of taken with you, you know, through future renovations that, you know, have that spirit of that first kitchen renovation that you did.
Better.
Yeah, every time
with a slightly bigger budget.
Yeah.
What kind of kitchen trends are you noticing lately?
I try not to notice trends. I'm the wrong person to ask.
So this is the thing. We actually just had a talk with some of the executives at HGTV and Food Network. We were talking about how, like, we really try not to watch other home improvement shows. And we also try to not look at trends. So it's, you know.
So keeping things as personal as possible is always my goal. Like, if my homeowner tells me I love the color red, and I really, really, really love red, I'm going to give them a red kitchen. And I'm not going to see a lot of that, you know, out there in the inspiration world. It's just not, it's not on trend. I don't care about it. Yeah, I don't care about what's on trend. And in that way, we get to stay fresh because we never know what our homeowners are going to ask for. We were just about to paint someone's kitchen lavender, which I'm very uncomfortable with the color lavender, but my homeowner loved it. And I was excited to like find a lavender that felt good, that I could be proud of and that I knew she would like to. And then they found out their house had some foundation issues and they're not going to be able to do it. So I'm so sad. I was about to get my first lavender kitchen and it's been jerked out from under me. But
one thing that is a trend that we both like more from a quality standpoint is the use of more industrial or restaurant equipment in kitchens. Aaron and I, typically those pieces are usually American made and they're just the quality is, and we know this because when we first got married, when we first renovated this kitchen, I bought cheap appliances that were on Facebook Marketplace. So they were, it was Craigslist.
Back then. The OG.
Yeah, it was Craigslist. And they were cheap to begin with. And then they were even cheaper because they were on Marketplace. And I mean, on Craigslist. And just like, you know, I mean, and they did fine. It was the same style of, you know, appliances that my parents had used. And, you know, and they did fine. And then when we redid this kitchen the last time, we, you know, upgraded to like, you know, really like a Viking style range,
and then it changes the world when you start cooking with gas.
Holy cow!
When you literally start cooking with gas,
yes.
A good range, good oven is like,
it makes cooking so much more enjoyable. It really
is a game changer,
right? And when the recipe says, you know, set it at 425 for 4 hours, or you know, whatever.
Whoa! What are you cooking?
I'm not cooking anything, but. Whatever
it's cooking, 350 for 18 minutes
is what he's going to
be perfect. Yeah, if it says 350 for
18 minutes, that's more.
I don't know. What are you cooking?
I'm making cookies.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, so yeah, we're the wrong people to ask about trends. I'm sorry.
No, that's good. I like that though. I mean, I think that is one of the things that, you know, people are drawn to you because of, you know, the fact that you kind of just have this way about doing things your way and really kind of preserving the charm of some of these houses. And now you're doing it again for your own house. You guys are the homeowners. You're the ones, you know, telling yourselves what you want. As you are restoring and renovating your own historic country home on the upcoming premiere of Hometown, why was having a home kind of outside of downtown Laurel important to you and your family?
Once you have little kids, you realize how you want them to be able to roam outside. Our girls haven't ever played with phones or tablets or iPads or anything. And we figure we grew up that way. We grew up climbing trees and playing in the dirt, going fishing. And that's what we want for them.
And it's it's an easy out to let them have a phone or let them have a tablet. And we found it was easier. It's easier for them to find something to do and not want to be entertained out in the country. Like our house here in town, if it was in Brooklyn, this is a huge yard. But compared to the, you know, the yards, I mean, Erin's yard at her parents' house is 5 acres. That's what she, you know, exploring.
Yeah, land is affordable here too. So it just made sense for us. We found a very historic old home with acreage, and you just don't find that. Like there are no historic houses with lots of acreage. And we found that, and we thought, if someone else buys this.
It felt like it was this, you know, like God said, here is this house that you need.
And it did feel that way.
And we were like, so Holly Williams is a friend of ours. We reached out to her and we're like, hey, what do you think about
She renovates houses.
She does a lot of houses. She specifically looks for historic homes with more than 10 acres or something like that. And we were just like, you know, we felt the price for us felt expensive. It was, you know, nothing compared to even the prices in Jackson, Mississippi. And she was like, if you don't buy it, I'm going to buy it. And
so then we had to beat Holly to it.
Okay. Well, so it was just such an incredible deal and such a great house. And we had been, because of the way that Erin and I had grown up, both of us lived in, I didn't live in the country. I always lived in small towns, but I always worked and hung out on farms that were, you know, right outside the city limits. And so it was just the way that we had been raised, and we wanted our girls to experience some of that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's hard to beat being able to walk to downtown to Shug's and get cookie dough.
Yeah, it's nice to have both, though. And you know, Erin, I love this quote from you. You know, you say that when the girls come home at the end of the day, you want their hair to be tangled and the bathwater to be dirty. What does that mean to you? Why is that important?
I feel like it means they learned something that day. They really did something. They saw something new. They explored. They were little adventurers. And boy, I have gotten my wish. The bathtubs stay filthy at the farmhouse. And that's awesome. I have to actually rinse them out after the girls bathe. But I'm loving that.
But it's something that we never have to do that here.
Never. Mm. And that makes me feel like, did they really enjoy the day? Because little ones, they want to see and do and get into things. And in the country, they really can. It's been awesome to see the way they...
With May, our one-year-old, if she's fussy or whatever, you can say, do you want to go outside? And she like stops what she's doing
and runs
to the door because she wants to be outside.
Yeah. And then you can just let her. She roams and the dog walks beside her and makes sure she doesn't get into trouble. But it's a special way to grow up, spending a lot of time outdoors. And that was a big part of who we were as kids. And it's kind of all we know as far as parenting is that was good for us. Mm-hmm. And we want them to have that.
As far as, you know, the design of the house and kind of making some of those decisions, was approaching your own space more or less complicated than doing it for a client?
Way more.
But also more satisfying.
Yeah. I didn't sleep a lot in the first part of this year. January through March, we just didn't sleep at all. A couple of reasons. One, Helen saw the old 1950s Frankenstein, like 5 minutes of it, and she didn't sleep for 6 weeks. She did not sleep. Wow. So she wanted daddy every night. He didn't sleep either. I was laying there awake thinking, did I choose the very best light switch cover?
That's what keeps you up at night.
Yeah. Did I choose the right switch plate? Should we have another light in the bathroom? Or do we have enough?
I know we're trying to avoid can lights everywhere in the house.
But would it be good?
Would it be good to have one in the laundry room, in the mud room?
I mean, you just second guess yourself so much when you're designing for yourself. And we have the advantage and also disadvantage of having renovated over 90 houses. So I've seen a lot of options. I know what's out there.
Yeah. And then, your team, you know, your electricians and your plumbers, they also know what's out there, and they,
mm-hmm. they give you more options.
And they're like, you know, it's going to be really dark in this corner. Are you sure you don't? No, sir. We want it to be moody like that. But what if you're cleaning and you won't? And then you're like.
So it was like that for an entire 6 month process. But wow. I'm really happy with every decision. There's nothing I wish that we had done differently.
What were some of the non-negotiable elements that you really had to include in this dream home?
Erin has a list.
There's a lot. Yeah. I'll just give you a very, very few things.
Sure.
But for me, I really wanted unlacquered brass for our plumbing fixtures everywhere because I love the way it's called a living finish and that it changes the way a copper penny does. Mm. Copper and brass are both beautiful metals that age in different ways. And I wanted that. And I was obsessed with the kitchen from Downton Abbey, the downstairs. Our house is Tudor style and a brick Tudor. It feels like you're walking into England. You walk in that door and you have crossed the ocean. And we had to have a kitchen that would rise to that occasion. Yeah. It needed to feel.
And the previous owners, the kitchen was great the way they had done it. It was solid white oak cabinets with white oak countertops. And it was really unique the way they had done it. But
they were a petite family. So the countertops were very low. Ben is 6'6".
Yeah.
And he likes them to be 1 inch taller than standard height. So
I like them to be 2 inches taller than standard height. But we compromise at 1 inch.
Yes, because I'm a normal sized person. But
in the uppers, only I could easily reach the top of the upper cabinets. So we were changing the layout a little bit.
Yeah. So we had all new cabinetry. And I don't know, my other non-negotiable is lamp light everywhere. I don't like overhead lighting ever, really. I guess we gathered that from the conversation we just had. But yeah, lamps everywhere. Good lamps.
Which meant that you had to have plug-ins in the right places. Did we film a scene where we went around?
Yeah.
Yeah. We actually made a scene out of...
I'm sure they're not going to use it.
if they did, it'd be interesting because it was our house and we were thinking about, okay, we want...
Where would I put my stand mixer? I'd put it right here.
We want a plug-in here.
Yeah.
We want to put a lamp on the countertop right here. Can we have a plug-in?
Under the bar, stuff like that. Super boring stuff.
No, I think it's fascinating. I mean, I also think it's fascinating, how this house came to be in the first place. Have you guys done any research on who the original owners and builders were and why they decided on this, Tudor style home?
So Mr. Moore went and fought in World War I and he lost his leg. And
he was stationed in England.
He was in Europe.
Oh.
And he came home and he wanted to build his wife a house like these houses he had seen in England and in Europe. And so he built a Tudor style house. He didn't use any. We don't know who he hired, a carpenter who moved to the farm to build it. But if you follow history, something happened around the time of World War I. That made alcohol hard to find. Mr. Moore was a chicken farmer. At one time, our farm was the largest poultry farm in the state of Mississippi at one time. But also, he was known for growing something else there on the property.
Okay.
he was a bootlegger. He was making moonshine. And the house, actually, when we went in the basement the first time with our architects, they said, oh my gosh, these builders were so ahead of their time. They would park their vehicle under the house because there's garage doors in the basement, carriage doors. And I said, it doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't get that cold in Mississippi. Why would you need to park your car in the basement? And then when our first group of subcontractors came to look at it, several of them were from the county and they wanted to go in the basement to see if the doors were actually there because they had always heard about them because
he was a bootlegger. Famous bootlegger.
He'd pull his cars in there.
Really?
Load the moonshine and then leave in the cover of night. So that's the lore around town.
That is so fascinating.
It's the most incredibly well-built house I've ever been in.
I mean, it's built like a church. It's built
like a cathedral. Like it's extremely well-built, and it has these giant 2-foot by 2-foot pillars in the basement that are formed concrete. And then it's got these 65-foot-long 12 by 12 pine beam. It's incredible.
This is a Food Network podcast.
Sorry, yes.
No, I think I think there's a lot of crossover.
He would love to discuss the intricacies of wood with you right now. But suffice to say, it's a really well-built house.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And I'm sure, already feeling like a home. Are you guys going to be hosting the holidays at that house?
Yeah, I'm sure.
We had Easter at our house at the farm. We haven't discussed Thanksgiving is
traveling
is a lot of traveling, and it'll be at my grandparents. And then, we don't know about Christmas yet.
I'm sure we'll have something.
Yeah, something will be there.
Coming up next, Ben and Aaron talk about making their holiday movie debut in the Discovery Plus original movie, A Christmas Open House.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Well, safe to say you guys are a festive family. And as we've kind of alluded to, you are making your holiday movie debut in the Discovery Plus original movie, A Christmas Open House. Can you guys talk a little bit about this project and how you became a part of it?
Yeah, we haven't seen the movie, but the trailer looks like it's going to be pretty cute. We were asked by HGTV if we would be interested, but originally, we didn't really know what that would entail or if we would be good.
And we're not actors, you know, so we were like, hi, I really don't know. And they suggested that we talk to some of the people who, you know, like Ree Drummond. Aaron talked to her, and
Ree said it was the most fun she'd ever had and absolutely do it.
Really?
So we said, okay, we'll do it. And yeah, it was fun. Hilarious that a actual movie production came to Laurel, Mississippi for a few days. There was a lot of hubbub around town over that.
And you're you talk about that you're not actors, but you're essentially playing yourselves, correct?
Yes. It was. My name is Henry Wright. I'm an avid woodworker and fisherman.
I'm Sarah Wright.
A designer.
Designer and artist, yeah.
And so that was the only way we felt comfortable doing it, was that we were essentially playing.
Yeah, it's a good way to ease into scripted entertainment, just to play yourself with a different name.
I mean, that was going to be my next question. Obviously, you're used to the cameras after six seasons of the show, but what are the differences and challenges of working on a scripted set versus what you do normally?
Making it sound natural. But then, yeah, going out there and like, okay, so we've got our lines, but we know exactly what we're going to say and we know what he's going to say. But then he said it in a certain way with this inflection.
So now I got to change.
So I got to change the way that I'm going to say it so that it sounds like an answer to what he's saying, the way he said it. And so, yeah, honestly, what made it easy was getting to know them.
Yeah. Katie and Victor.
How much direction did you receive like while filming, and how well did you take the direction?
They just let us go.
It was mostly
really
like stand here,
you know, make sure you land here. Make sure. So there's a scene where we're all out walking through a park and we start dancing to, there's someone playing guitar and singing. And Aaron and I are supposed to be dancing and kind of turning. And we had to make sure that we timed it so that we turned and we stopped, opened the camera at the right time. So like things like that.
It's like basically choreography was the hardest part, but there was no direction about say it this way or say it that way.
Say it with more emotion.
Yeah, they just let us go on all that.
Yeah.
I mean, for anyone who has not seen the trailer, what is kind of the premise of this feature film?
So,
David and Melissa were friends growing up, and
Melissa's parents, Melissa's mom is getting remarried, and her family home, they're going to put it up for sale.
They are. And Melissa has had a big city job in Atlanta as staging houses. And
she's wanting to try to sell the mom's house, the family home.
Yeah.
And her mom says, that's fine, but you got to use David as your realtor.
That was her middle school crush.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, sparks fly.
Sparks fly. And snowflakes fly.
They are doing some minor updates on the house to get it ready to sell. And they reach out to us, Ben and David. Oh, I'm sorry, Henry and David are old friends who go way back. And he wants us to make a couple special projects for the house. So that's how we get involved.
Ah, that's so fun. I mean, was there anything that kind of surprised you about being on set for something like that?
The amount of people.
Yeah, so many people. like millions of people.
So with Hometown, our crew that's on set, our, you know, our quote-unquote Kramer crew, there's like five of them.
Did you say Kramer crew?
Yeah,
Kramer. So the babies both said Kramer instead of camera. Anyway.
There's like six or eight.
Yeah.
People. But there's like
100.
There's like six or eight people on the specifically camera team. And then there's, wow, you know, the.
Seriously, 100 people were there.
Yeah, it was so many people.
It was wild.
What did what was the reaction from like the people around town?
A lot of curiosity, a lot of speculation, a lot of made up stories about they're bringing in 100 vintage cars for the scene and downtown. There was not a single vintage car. I have no idea why that. It was in the news that was happening.
Yeah, actually.
I don't know. So many rumors people made up.
There's one scene with a vehicle. And it's David's vehicle.
It's a brand new truck.
And it's just, there's one of the guys on the crew who drove a pickup truck.
So I don't know.
Can we use your truck for this scene?
And everybody is very matter of fact about it that are sharing these rumors. They're like, this is what's happening.
Jamie,
this
where are you from?
I'm from Montana, so I can relate. I grew up on a farm, and my hometown is a little bit bigger, but I know how like the local news and the gossip mill like works. It gets around pretty fast, right?
It did.
And just it's amazing how much everyone knows.
That knows nothing.
Who actually know nothing.
Yeah, exactly. But they think they know.
Oh yeah.
And they will report it as fact. Are you guys planning to have a viewing party?
Oh my gosh, you're like the fifth person to bring that up.
We didn't even think about it.
We have not thought of that, but we should somewhere.
You should. Like, you got maybe your mom can make some gumbo.
Maybe. We need to get a big blow up TV screen and watch it somewhere outside. Cozy.
At the farmhouse.
Yeah.
Throw a big sheet on the outside of the house and put a projector up.
Thank
and
you for
everybody's...
planning our party, Jamie.
I know.
Do you want to come? Yeah. This is a great idea. That's what we'll do.
I love it. What about, would you guys ever consider writing your own movie about how the two of you met?
I don't know. I don't think we're that special or important.
Ah, come on.
Write a book about that. And that was fun to revisit. It's my favorite love story.
It's a good love story.
And it happened at Christmas.
Well, I have to hear the love story now. What is the love story?
Oh, you don't know.
So we...
Well, for anybody that doesn't know, I know a little bit.
Well, so we met. Well, I had this crush on Ben for like 2 years in college. It was a year and a half. It was freshman year still, wasn't it? Yeah. Sophomore. I don't know. I had a huge crush on Ben for a long time because he was very popular. He was like in every club on campus and...
It was a very small campus.
It was like 1,000 people. It's not that small. Anyway, the yearbook, I was the design editor of the yearbook. And
now, also, I can tell you the exact moment I saw Erin for the first time. And she stood out to me because she was walking across the cafeteria at Jones Junior College. So I think they call it Jones College now. She was wearing like loose fitting jeans, which were not the style, not the mainstream style at the time, and a tight t-shirt. Mm. And she had...
Interesting that you lingered on that.
She just cut her hair really short.
It was a pixie cut. And he was obsessed with Meg Ryan in the 90s, which I was too. But he tells me that's why he noticed. But anyway, the yearbook was doing feature stories on the 10 most interesting people on campus. And they were polling, you know, who are these 10 people going to be? Everybody raised their hands. The first person they said, Ben Napier. That guy is awesome. And I was like, I can be there for that feature story. I will help head that up. And so we ran into each other so many times on campus before then, but had never spent any time together. And so that was the first time we ever met really and spent time together. And 6 days later, we decided we would get married. We were inseparable. Like from the moment we first hung out, we have not been separated since December 7th, 2004.
2004.
Yeah.
Wow.
December 13th, I told her I was in love with her and I was going
to
marry her.
Not true. We were separated. You had to go home for Christmas for 2 weeks and it was just devastating.
It was a week. I was only gone a week. I came back.
It felt like a year.
It is a lovely story and one that we are so blessed to be a part of, you know, just having a little snippet of your lives on television and here on the podcast. So we do appreciate you guys sharing all the stories. We're going to finish things off with a little rapid fire round. And then we have one final question for you here on Food Network Obsessed. So first rapid fire question, who would play your characters in a movie about your life?
So if it's modern day, Chris Sullivan, he is Hollywood Ben Napier.
They're good friends. This is a hilarious joke to them that they're like the Hollywood Mississippi versions of each other.
So who would play you?
I don't know. Can we get Meg Ryan from 19?
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Meg Ryan's got to do it, right?
1997.
Yeah.
You've got mail era.
That's
Meg Ryan.
That's my wish, yeah.
But if it's going back to college, I don't know who would play me.
We don't know any young people.
Well, you probably have to have multiple actors, play the college version and then the present day version, right?
Yeah.
All right. Rate your acting skills on a scale of 1 to 10.
Well, What's 10?
10's the best.
10's the best. 10 is James Gandolfini and The Sopranos. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
We won't say what number one is. That would hurt someone's feelings.
So. I don't know. Because we haven't seen it.
We haven't seen it.
That's true.
Know.
Okay. Maybe we'll have to revisit this question after the viewing party.
High five, baby. That's
2-5.
All right. Can you guess each other's favorite holiday movie?
Well, yeah. We probably not. Mm-hmm. I feel like yours is either The Holiday or The Family Stone.
I love them both, but those are not my favorite. I think we might have the same favorite, Home Alone.
Oh.
No, yours is A Wonderful Life.
Yeah, mine's It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. Home Alone 1 or 2. I don't have a preference. I love them equally.
It's a classic for sure. You can only choose one Thanksgiving side. What's it going to be?
Dressing.
Yep.
All right. Gotta be dressing.
With cranberry sauce. The canned kind. Not homemade.
I like the homemade.
The jiggly can with the slices, right?
Now, I don't turn my nose up at any cranberry sauce, but I like the homemade just as much as I like the can.
I like the can. I like it to sound like Alpo coming out of that can. That's the good stuff.
I can hear it coming out of the can right now. all right. Holiday song that you know by heart.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. That's my number one. This is Ben's favorite genre. But Judy Garland, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. And listen, I had a stressful day yesterday and I said, I don't care. I'm doing it. And I went to Holiday Traditions on SiriusXM. And it was my song. It was Judy. And I thought, I needed this. This is so good. Okay, well,
Thank you, Judy.
Number one? Thank you, Judy. You're so great.
I don't really have number one. Like, I love them all. I don't know if this is common. I feel like this is kind of common knowledge now, but I work out in the mornings to Christmas music.
Like all year round.
Yeah. Yeah, he does. He's either a psychopath or he's just real jolly.
It started during COVID because it was like, well, the world's burning down. I'm going to get Christmas out of this.
You're like, I'm making sure that I'm getting this in. Maybe he's Santa.
I think that might be it.
It started my day on such a joyful note that I was like,
yeah,
I'm sticking with this.
I can see that. I can see it. Best Christmas gift you ever received as a child?
Rock tumbler.
Best Christmas gift?
Rock tumbler.
Okay, so this is a combination. I've answered this before, but it's a combination Christmas.
I have to explain my rock tumbler, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to say, I need more context on that.
It's like, you know, there's like science toy catalogs that come out anyway, maybe not, but it was, you put this little bag of rocks in the rock tumbler and it tumbles for 6 weeks, and when you open it you have precious gemstones.
Wow. Did it work?
I don't know, maybe. I just enjoyed every day going in. My dad set it up in his garage workshop and I would just walk out there and look at it still going. Made me happy. I thought, I'm going to get diamonds out of it in just a few more weeks.
So for me, specific Christmas.
The journey, not the destination.
Yes. You don't care what you got. Just the excitement of what might be in there.
Yeah.
For me, it was this one specific Christmas. My brother was born November 5th. So I mean, Christmas starts November 1st, right?
So.
1993. My brother was born. Back up. We moved to a new house that was on a farm. It was, you know, we had all this land and everything. So we moved to the new house. My brother was born. We got a basketball goal and we got a new dog.
That sounds like your mom was just super stressed.
A dog?
Out. That's what all of that sounded like to me. We moved, we had a baby, and we got a new dog.
It was
and a basketball hoop.
Fantastic. And when I look back at pictures, like that Christmas
that
felt,
was childhood.
It felt so magical.
You were 9.
I was 10.
10.
That does sound pretty magical.
That's pretty fantastic.
I also got some moon shoes one year. I don't know if you remember moon shoes.
I do remember those. Those are pretty cool.
Definitely dangerous and could have killed myself on them, but I loved them.
But you were very excited at the time.
They're trampoline shoes for each foot.
That sounds like a torn ACL.
We never let my children jump on those things now.
There's a lot of things that we had as kids that are probably very, very dangerous, as it turns out. We turned out okay, though, right?
Yeah, here we are.
All right. Well, our final question that we ask everybody here on Food Network Obsessed, and this is not rapid fire, so you can take as much time as you want. What would be on the menu for your perfect food day? So, and you guys obviously can answer differently. They can be your own personal food day. We want to hear your breakfast, your lunch, your dinner, and your dessert. So, and there's no rules. Like, you can spend as much money, you can travel, time travel, anything you need.
You got it. Okay. My breakfast is definitely going to be like the best croissant sandwich ever. Like a very fresh and flaky croissant from Balthazar. In New York City, the Balthazar breakfast croissant sandwich that has ham and Gruyere. And then my lunch is going to be a tomato basil bisque with a grilled cheese on brioche bread, like fried in butter.
Yep.
And then my supper is going to be a huge Greek salad with a really great, really strong feta dressing with pita mas. Yeah, yum. That's what I want.
And no dessert, because you're not a dessert person?
No sweets.
All right.
If there's some tiramisu available, I might eat a bite or two.
Yeah. I just always want a bite. That's it.
So for me,
what's your breakfast?
What do you think?
Steak and eggs from somewhere.
No, I'm going breakfast burrito.
Burrito.
I love a breakfast burrito.
I am
in a Mexican dive in New Mexico.
Yeah,
we did this recently. We went to a dive in New Mexico where he had chips and salsa and a breakfast burrito.
The best thing about it is that everyone in there, I was like, these people have no idea who we are. We don't have to worry about anything in here. Like they're not paying attention. And when we stood up to leave, I mean, it's all these like...
these men who were filthy and worked on farms and...
Or oil rigs or whatever. Like, you could look at them and tell, like...
They don't watch TV.
They're not watching HGTV if they are watching TV. And when we stood up to leave, they all were like, you're the people from
the show.
Yeah, we're like, yeah, we are.
That's funny.
Yeah. So anyway.
Did the burrito have the Hatch green chili in there? Yeah, so good.
I've recently discovered that. And breakfast burritos. So that's my breakfast.
Okay.
It's not going to be French toast. That is like your favorite breakfast food.
You can have as many breakfast foods as you want. There's no rules.
French toast.
Yeah, Balthazar French toast.
I think Balthazar is our breakfast meal.
We have to do this together.
We're doing this together. We do everything together.
Okay. Does anybody know if Balthazar has a breakfast burrito?
I don't think so.
No, but there's a really great spot in Brooklyn I can send you to that has the New Mexico. It's a specifically New Mexico place. So maybe you could do like a combo.
Because we're going to New York in 2 weeks. And we'll have time to go to Brooklyn. But
it's called Santa Fe, so you can't forget.
See, this is the problem is, like, I love a good, you know, French bakery breakfast. But I also love a good, you know, Mexican breakfast. And we don't have that here. Like, you can't in Laurel, you can't get a breakfast burrito unless it's fast food and it's not good. But then I love a traditional diner Waffle House style breakfast.
Okay, let's get to lunch.
All right. So lunch, there is a place in Jones County that I will not say the name of it because it's my secret place that I go and have burgers. But I'll say Phillips Drive-In is in Laurel.
An equally good burger.
It's an equally good burger. And that's what I'm going to have. I'm going to have a number 3 jumbo basket because this is a dream lunch. I'm not worried about calories or
calories don't count.
Heart health. I'm going a number 3 jumbo basket with tots. And I'm going to have a cherry Sprite with it. And I might have a milkshake.
All right. Which milkshake?
Maybe just a vanilla.
Okay.
And then...
what's for supper?
Can you guess what my supper
is? It's going to be a steak from Delmonico.
We're going to Delmonico's in New York.
Okay.
And we're going to have... I'm going to have the Delmonico.
And that cream spinach.
I'm going to have cream spinach. I'm going to have... it's like a loaded potato, like a twice potato. But I'm also going to, it's a really good lettuce wedge salad that I'm going to have. And for dessert, one time when I was a kid, my mom made a cake that was like a Coca-Cola cake or something. It was like a chocolate cake type thing. And I don't even know if it was that good, but it was just, at the time, it was so good. And I always think about it, and I never asked for it or anything. Red Velvet's my go-to.
Okay.
That's where my mind's at right now.
I mean, sounds like a great day. I think the only decision is you guys deciding, you know, which place you guys are going together.
Yeah.
Can I tell you how Delmonico happened for us?
Yeah, sure. Please.
For me, this is a great story. It may not be that really, it may not be great. But so we were, for our honeymoon, we were going to New York City. And
It was Christmas time.
My parents, neither one of my parents had ever been to New York at the time. And both my parents are ministers, and my dad officiated our wedding, and he was talking to us, and he was like, "Where are you going for your honeymoon?" And I said, "We're going to go to New York City." And he said, "Oh, you got to eat at Delmonico's while you're there." And I said,
"What is that?"
What? I'd never heard of it. And he was like, "That's what everybody does." And I said, "What? What are you talking about?"
In the cowboy movies.
And he said, "Oh, yeah, you watch old cowboy movies or old gangster movies. If they go to New York City, the first thing they're going to do is go to Delmonico and get them a steak." And so I like took him up on it, and I researched it. And at the time, I was in graduate school, and I was taking a class called who's the professor had he'd done his thesis on the history of restaurants in America. He said, "Where are you going for your honeymoon?" And I said, "We're going to New York City." And he said, "Oh, where are you going to eat?" And I said, "I think we're going to eat a steak at Delmonico." And he was like, "Oh, fantastic choice." And so I was like, why is my dad? And it's, to this day, it's the best steak we've ever had.
And maybe it's just because they were leading the witness, but it's really good. It's the best steak we've ever had in New York. So we always go there. Yeah.
I think food also is so much, you know, tied to memories and
and
the way it makes you feel. And I totally get that. And I love Delmonico's too. It's great. Well, I love that. It sounds like a perfect day. And thank you guys so much for taking the time and sharing some of your life with us. And we're so excited to see the movie.
Yay! Thank you, Jamie. And for the idea for the party, too. Thank you for that.
Yes.
You're so welcome.
All right.
Thank you guys so much. Well, I personally am a Christmas music after Thanksgiving person. Not sure about the workout music, but whatever works for you, Ben. You can catch this couple on A Christmas Open House only on Discovery Plus. Make sure to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts so you don't miss a thing. And if you enjoy today's episode, please rate and review. We love it when you do that. That's all for now. We'll catch you foodies next Friday.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Welcome back to Two Judgy Girls. I'm Mary from the Bay.
And I'm Courtney from LA. TJG is the podcast where we spill all the tea on your favorite reality TV shows, celebrity gossip, and everything in between. We're here to bring you our unfiltered opinions, hilarious commentary, and plenty of laughs along the way.
We're two SDSU Delta Gamma sisters with a microphone and a whole lot of opinions. Each week, we dive headfirst into the wild world of reality television, from Bravo to all the trash TV you could want. We break down the drama, dissect the latest scandals, and share our thoughts on everything from the jaw-dropping moments to the embarrassing antics.
But that's not all. We're not here to just gossip. We're here to connect with you, the jurors, and share our love of all things pop culture. Whether we're dishing on the latest celebrity breakups, discussing our favorite guilty pleasure movies, or sharing embarrassing stories from our own lives, we promise to keep it real, keep it fun, and keep you coming back for more.
Come judge with us.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.